Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We'll now bring this meeting into session. We now have the call to order and roll call by the clerk, Ms. Tanya.
Chair Corey Balance.
Present.
Vice Chair Lewis Hoggard.
Present.
Commissioner Ron Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Vivian Saunders. Commissioner Michael White.
Present.
County Manager Juan Vaughn.
Present.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. At this time, we will have our invocation and pledge of allegiance by Vice Chairman Hoggard.
Let's bow heads. The wise and gracious Father, once again, we come asking you to be in the midst as we conduct business for the county of Bertie. We ask that what we do will be in order and pleasing in your sight. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Stand for the pledge.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
You're welcome, sir.
At this time, we will be moving right along with our agenda, and we will now discuss the JCPC appointment.
Commissioners, as you are aware, at the last commissioners meeting, you all approved the funding plan as well as appointments to JCPC. Commissioner Saunders was added to that roster of appointments, and we already had two commissioners on there. So I believe, I want to speak for Commissioner Robertson, but believe he is prepared to step down and remove himself to alleviate having a quorum on JCPC. Commissioner Robertson.
That's correct, Manager. Because of the Bertie County public and citizens are like they are, I don't want nobody to say we have too many critics in the county. Instead of they saying we had a quorum of three people serving the JCPC board, I remove myself and give Ms. Sanders the opportunity to serve. I done served 4 years and get her opportunity to serve. That's my statement.
The county manager, is that something that we need to make up?
So, Mr. Nunnery, as well as Ms. Wilson, the chair of JCPC, are aware and they can make the update.
Okay, so we don't have to do anything as a board?
I don't think so. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, but at this time, we'll accept your resignation. And we thank you for your service. I'm sure JCPC, thank you for your service. And if there's something that we need to do, then we'll revisit it to make it final.
No problem.
Okay. So we thank you for that. At this time, we will move right along and go to Ronchowan Community College Board of Trustees appointments. And just before we do that, can you give the qualifications or the guidelines for that, if you will.
Yes, sir. So there are two appointments. One can be a commissioner and one from the Board of Education. It can also, if the board wishes, they could appoint two citizens. The board also could elect a board member and give the other one to the Board of Education. But if the Board of Education does not want to elect anyone from that site, they can revert it back to the board, make a recommendation for a person on our board to serve.
Yeah, there's two?
Yes, there is two.
Okay. I have two names, if y'all are ready. Ron Robertson and Shavonda Pugh from Bertie County Rural Health.
Okay. I guess the next question, any more nominees?
Move that nomination be closed.
Well, the next thing is, do the Board of Education want the second? I mean, do the Board of Education want the second?
If the recommendations are closed,
he can't close it because they have.
Commissioner White made two recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get two.
But I thought the first.
It's two appointments.
Right.
So our board will appoint someone from our board, mm-hmm. and then the other one could come from the Board of Education.
It could. Doesn't could. Have to.
Or the board can appoint two, one commissioner and one citizen, or either they could appoint two citizens.
Okay.
All right. So Commissioner White did one from our board and one citizen.
Okay.
So you need another citizen?
No, ma'am.
No, just a recommendation.
Just either another nomination.
If everybody's in agreement, all we would need is a motion and a second, although other nominations can be made.
Right.
Second.
But it's up to the board.
Second.
Second to close.
I second the motion for Dr. White recommending Mr. Robertson
and
Siobhan Pugh for Rural Health.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, nay? So moved. Congratulations. Ron Robinson. Commissioner.
Thank you. Chairman, right.
I got some more for you. That'll be later. You know it's going to be later, though. And Sharonda Pugh. Okay. Now we will go to the discussion of the Memorandum of Understanding with Chono Public Transportation Authority.
CPTA made a request and they've done it with another county and I can't remember exactly.
Northampton,
in which the CPTA receives the road for the EdTap monies and then they administer it for Bertie County. It streamlines it in that the invoices come directly to them rather than coming to us, and then we have to send them a report for them to
educate me. What is this money that acronym stand?
Elderly disability transportation.
CPT. Oh, you want
CPT is Chono
Public Transportation Authority.
Yeah,
so I have a question, and maybe Mr. County Manager, you can answer that. One of the items that Mr. Rebecca talked about yesterday with Mr. Don Davis is the inability to facilitate their transportation funding. Is this an opportunity that Rebecca at COA can provide this to our citizens in this area?
Well,
can she facilitate this, or is it illegal? I'm just asking.
She has the appropriations. I'm not sure if that was from you. There's a portion that comes in that she does. The issue is that sometimes the invoicing and what we are receiving doesn't necessarily align with where it's being posted here,
yes,
or the category in which it was intended.
Yes, sir.
The other thing is that it gives an opportunity for CPTA to work with the different departments to utilize and maximize their power.
Okay.
They get, there's three components. There's a road component for the transportation in general. There is an employment component that goes through DSS.
Yes, sir.
Which sometimes they utilize and sometimes they don't, depending on what the programs are. Mm-hmm. It's my understanding that historically they had issues where that the transportation for the elderly and handicapped was a larger demand, and so some of those funds have been shifted over to meet the elderly and transportation.
Okay, so it would be an illegal or not policy for Rebecca to handle this at Council on Age.
That from her to handle it, are you
to facilitate distributing the money,
Miss Arnold? If I might, being the chair of the CPTA board,
explain.
And with Miss Pamela Perry being the executive director, and we've handled these situation before. I know we're doing it with Northampton County now.
That's what I needed.
And everything, you know, and you have to get approval from your commissioners and from your county managers and everybody else in the governmental agency department heads.
Yes, sir.
It works very well in the sense that it comes directly to the transportation entity that covers those counties and makes it easier for Mrs. Perry to distribute it and handle it. And it also gives us in our finance department one more entity that, well, Willie or his financial team won't have to handle it. Miss Perry will be handling those situations, the funding aspects of it, but it will be directly still through the county, and they will still be in contact with finance and with the county manager.
Okay.
As go about.
So it's so one less it's piece of red tape.
One less piece of red tape that we would have to deal with.
Miss Rebecca will still be able to utilize the
funds
that are appropriate to her.
All right. Thank you. So what is your recommendation?
My recommendation is to streamline and register as you can be
able.
There's less chance for error between my bookkeeping and the invoices that I get from Rebecca. One of the things that we're finding that some of the providers may be giving us an invoice for April.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of all of those invoices, they may be in March, which played havoc because now we have to get back in the end a prior month.
Ready for the question, Mr. Chairman Ballard?
I'm sorry.
Are you ready for the question?
All right. Do we have a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion on the floor to move forward by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner Robinson. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. So moved.
Thank you.
At this time, we will have the presentation of the jail medication for opioid use disorder by Elijah Bazemore.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you so much for having Russell and I down here this morning to do a presentation. I share with County Manager Vaughn that this presentation I'm doing is normally an hour. So I'm giving you an hour in 10 minutes. We're going to watch this clock.
You already get a clock.
Yeah. Medicates for opioid use disorder. Right now, across the country, it's a move to make sure individuals that are detained in any detention facility are treated. Opioid use disorder should be treated like any other chronic health care, diabetes, hypertension, whatever. And so we should treat it. I understand. And Berkshire Martin Regional Jail right now, they are currently continuing. So if a patient comes in and they're in treatment, they're currently treating. Right now we have one OTP over in Hertford County, and then I understand there's a OBI, Office-Based Treatment Authority, over in Martin County. So that's how we're getting the medication. What's gonna entail now is that we would have to do some stuff with medical so that they would be able to do it. Up here, this is how we pretty much set up. Russell and I worked retired from the sheriff's office. I did 33 years and 9 months, Durham County Sheriff's Office. Russell did 28. And 5 years before I retired, I was charged with setting up medication opioid use disorder for the Durham County Detention Facility. At the time, we had an average daily population of probably 500 and some inmates. The extensive training, and now I work for a company called Vital Strategies. I literally go around the great state of North Carolina setting up opioid treatment programs. I think to date we probably helped 12 to 14 counties get a program up and going. And we're excited about trying to help Berkshire Martin Regional get this same program implemented for them. The services that we provide are absolutely free. Doesn't cost anything. And typically what we do is once we get the program, we have the first meeting and there's agreement that we're going to move forward. We set weekly meetings and then we're available as much as needed by that detention facility, Berkshire Martin Regional. So the first thing we do is prepare for change. And this is probably the most important piece of the whole thing. We identify a project champion. That's somebody that after we meet, if there are things that need to be done, that person is going to get behind the scene and make sure they're done. Russell and I work together strategically to make sure that there's no heavy lifting from even the project chairman, because we understand that agencies are short staffed, for lack of better terminology. And so we don't want any additional work on them unless we just absolutely have to. Then the next thing that we do, once we start that initial meeting, we start a implementation plan. Which one is the implementation plan? The next thing we do is we start an implementation plan. We schedule regular meetings, and we try to do them Zoom when we can. If we can't do them via Zoom, then certainly we can make provisions to come down here as much as we need to. Probably we could come maybe as much as once a month. The other thing is we set a target date to start the project. So let's say if we wanted to start in January of next year, we would go in, we would start setting up committees, finding out what's in place, and go from there. The next thing we do, we would have to do a contract addendum with the current medical provider, Southern Health Partners, and we do an MOU with them. The other piece that would have to be done is we have to update our medical plan to include medication for opioid use disorder so that we would have some policies for them to provide. From the time they come in the building, you do a health screen, mental health screen, and an opioid use disorder screen, DSM-5, or there are a couple of other forms that you could use. Then you decide what kind of treatment modality that you want to go by. In terms of from the time they assess, them getting counseling while they're in there and working on their discharge plan. Some facilities, we're able to accomplish this, some facilities not. We try to set up unique housing for them where this population can be housed together. Also, we work with the agency on dosing. There's best practice around dosing, so we want to make sure that agencies afford an opportunity to learn what best practice is. So that we don't have diversion of medicine. When we talk about diversion of medicine, I'm not only concerned about the methadone and Suboxone and the FDA-approved medications, but I'm also concerned about the other medications that are prescribed, the psychotropic medication, hypertension. They divert all medications, not just this, and one is no more harmful than the other one. We come down and we provide training. The training is 2 hours, but it's important that everybody understand why medication for opioid use disorder is being implemented. This is for everybody. And we'd like to get the command staff, bring them together, and we'd like to have a certified instructor. But if we do not have a certified instructor, then of course Russell and I'll come back to facilitate making sure everybody gets training. Next two big pieces that we need a clinician and we need a peer support. The clinician, of course, does the assessment and make that recommendation to the doctor. For the patient to start the treatment. We work with Trillium to help with the funding of that. Not to say Trillium is going to pay for it, but we do work to try to help find funding for these components. And then also we encourage bringing in a peer support specialist. Peer support specialist is a person with a lived experience. They're going to do an engagement, talk to the individuals while they're detained, and they do a follow-up. And the whole purpose of this follow-up is to make sure they have access to any community resources that they may need. And I'm not sure, I apologize, I didn't do all my homework, but I know they have tablets in the facility, and so we would make arrangements so that they could have access to those tablets to put information in. And if they got Paytail, one of the vendors, they have an opioid treatment program embedded in the tablets. The clinician, we will work with them on discharge planning to make sure that they can be connected to the OTP out in the community. And then we want to bring Trillium to the table. That's your local mental health entity, managed care organization. We're going to bring them to the table. We're going to bring them to the table. We're going to bring them to the table. also, this is, when I talk about Medicaid for opioid use disorder, I like to do a comparison to CIT. CIT is crisis intervention teams. That's where we help our patients with mental health. 65% of those 90 individuals detained in that building have some type of serious mental illness or severe persistent mental illness. Of that percentage, about 25 to 35% of that population that's detained in the regional facility have some type of opioid use disorder. And what the whole purpose behind this, if we can get them connected, we can get them engaged, we can provide wraparound services, guess what? They're not going to wind up back in the Burke T. Martin regional facility. They can return to Burke T. County, they can return to Martin County and be productive citizens. Today, as we speak, we have Medicaid expansion. So we try to ensure that the individuals, if they're eligible, are connected to Medicaid. This is another resource that they would have, so they would be able to get resources once they release from the facility.
Mr. Bateman, what you said, today as we speak.
That's what I said.
Right.
But I know I'm being recorded. They might not be here tomorrow. Medicaid expansion may go away. Now, also, I'm working with the state on 1115 waiver, and that's going to be another piece that's going to fund some of these services for 90 days prior to people being released. But it is that's going to be a little ways down the street, as far as I'm concerned. A couple other things that we work on is data gathering and some tools to measure how efficient and how effective what we are doing is. But I push that all the way down to the bottom because the most important piece is getting the program up and going. Finally, again, going back to CIT, bringing the courts, bringing probation to the table and allowing them to be partners. But typically what we like to do is get the program up and going before we bring them to the table. The big thing now, I think I need to mention also in my last 2 minutes, is that last year I was afforded the opportunity to do this same presentation where I was in Martin County. I did about an hour. I was down there for probably 90 minutes. I did a full-fledged presentation for the Martin County Board of Commissioners, their health director invited me down. So I feel comfortable that they are on board. In your package, we got some rough estimate, and I plead these are rough estimate numbers of potentially what it would cost to get this project up.
That's it.
Okay.
And so in your packages, I divided it up into three. Ms. Davis called me yesterday and asked me to send some information down. So in this package right here, the first one is the blueprint, and it gives you the 9 steps, and it gives you some rough estimates about the numbers. This is the action plan. This is what we will be working on if the board, the Burke T. Martin Regional Detention Board, decide that they want to move forward. This is what we would get to working on. And then finally, Ms. Davis, this package that I sent you guys, this is the training package that we literally do. And again, I would love to come back and do this entire presentation, but 10 minutes is certainly not enough. The big thing is funding and eradicating the stigma that's associated with mental health, and this is Mental Health Awareness Month. If anybody didn't know, but eradicating the stigma, substance use disorder, mental health, I just can't stress the significance. If we can eradicate that stigma, we can help people. There are myriad of reasons why people wind up using substances as opposed to using their medication. So I don't go over my 10 minutes. I'm going to stop right here. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys may have.
So, Mr. Bazemore, I guess my first question, because we didn't talk about money until the very end, and now I'm looking at this this blueprint, where are you getting these funding sources from? The $822,740 that you're saying you're going to need? Or the 400 here or the 120 here? Where is that coming from?
Where would the money come from?
Yes.
From what I understand, Berkshire County would be responsible for 54% of that. Martin County would be responsible for 46% of that.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Martin County, 54, we are 40%.
Thanks, Ms. Simon. And so we would strategically look at, we would look, see if we could get some grants. We would look at opioid settlement dollars from Martin County, Berkshire County, and we would reach out to Trillium. Trillium has some SOAR dollars that we could potentially use that may be available for that. But again, once we decide that we're going to leap forward, then we would start working around those conversations to build a budget to determine what those final and actual costs would be.
So you're just here to just present this. You don't need us to vote on anything.
Absolutely.
All right, great.
No, sir.
Thank you.
But I do have a question. Could this be a part of the plan A or the plan B of opioid settlement money? You know, it's two. And Mr. County Manager, you was at the training, so correct me if I'm wrong. Plan A is direct clinical services that you would provide. Plan B, you could add supportive services. Say someone is going to get opioid treatment from Greenville and the grandmother is keeping the children. But those supportive services for keeping those children, am I stating it right? So would you, because you have clinicians involved, would this be considered a part of Plan A of an opioid settlement?
Plan A, as I understand it, the opioid settlement dollars. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's a direct cost,
that's what I'm asking,
opioid treatment, then yes. So a clinician and medication, the 4FDA approved medication.
Yes, sir.
Methadone, Suboxone, buprenorphine, and naltrexone are all included. Also, another thing that I did not mention today, we also like to bring in North Carolina harm reduction to allow them to kind of help out with some needed supplies. But yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Baysmore, good morning to you.
Good morning.
These numbers would depend on the number of patients, clients, defendants that we have there incarcerated. Is that true?
That is accurate. Ms. Robson, excellent question. So what and I'm gonna be right honest with you, I hate even presenting these numbers because they scare people sometimes.
Right.
You notice that we had 20 individuals down there. What Russell and I have been doing across the state is if we run into, but we've had this won't be our first rural county. But what we typically do, we will start out with a pilot.
Right.
Maybe 5 people.
Right.
And we will do what we can with that. We will put a budget together based around what it would treat 5 people for a month.
Right. Right.
And roll from there.
Increase from there.
Right.
We'll identify those 5.
So part of what we do is we have an eligibility criteria package,
okay,
and we would allow between medical and that detention facility to decide
who would qualify.
So when we run a pilot, what we typically want to do, we want individuals that's going to be there less than 30 days. Because let's say if we're running a pilot of 5 folks, we want those folks to be come in and go out. Because once we get that 5th person, we wouldn't be able to add anybody in. So we want people that could come in, work, and then be released.
Well, Mr. Baysmore, that's a great idea because sometimes the guys stay too long, man.
Right. So one of the other things that we bring to the table, because we've been doing this so long, we talk to agencies about getting back in front of the DA,
right,
talking
right,
to
right,
the DA
right,
about
right.
house arrest, talking about unsecured bonds.
I don't know about letting them Was baseball on nobody on
security bond. I know. I said, we talked about
pretrial release ain't working, man.
Yeah. We talk about deflection and diversion also. Some counties implement law enforcement assistant diversion. They implement other things that keep people from actually winding up in the building. But we do want people, the low-hanging fruit people that we know not going to go back out and get back in trouble, to have programs in place that's going to benefit them at that magnitude, right, so that they can get back out. Now, the understanding, because I know if my attorney, Mr. Smith, was sitting over there and he's right, we don't want to violate no ALCU rules or nothing like that. This is strict. When we say setting up a pilot, we literally mean 6 months to a year, the longest it's for one. And at some point during that 6 months to a year, we want to have everything in place so we can open it, make those resources available for anybody that walked through the door.
Right. Correct. I have one more question. What is your follow-up like and your connection to a support team after the person is released? Do you do support connection?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So again, that's the significance of that clinician misunderstanding. So that clinician sets up discharge plan. So let's say when that person is released, we're going to hook them up to the OTP in Hertford County, mm-hmm, or we're going to hook them up with the OBOT in Martin County, or we try to do it so a person, we know Berkeley County is one of the third largest county in the state. So we try our best not to have somebody over 25 miles from the treatment center. So what we're gonna, that clinician would do, with discharge to the facility that's close. Everybody not gonna be on methadone. You're gonna have some patients. Well, most of your patients are gonna be on buprenorphine, which means they can get treatment done. But we want them to be as close. And then we're gonna reach out to any other community stakeholders that we have in Bertie, Martin, and Hertford County that maybe provide that same services that's gonna help people with recovery. Any wraparound, re-entry, I don't know if we have a re-entry program in Bertie County.
No, just started.
So we would connect them to re-entry. Because we want them to get the word, we want them to be productive citizens. Again, the more resources, the more wraparound services that we can provide for individual upon release. National data is showing that 50% of the people that participate in these programs do not wind up back in the detention facility. Now, I know your next question about how we doing in North Carolina. I don't know. Russell and I just started a pilot with four counties. And so we not at a point where we can say, okay, this is what's going on in those four counties. We have the NC FIT, North Carolina Formerly Incarcerated Transition Program. They were in seven counties, but they're expanding, and I would love to see them in Berkeley County. But one of their stats that they're producing right now, they're saying 83% of the people that they're working with make their first appointment. And that's the big thing. If we can get people to their first appointment, that's key. I talk with the FIT team all the time. In fact, they work with our consulting team. You got to raise your hand and say, I don't want this, in order to fill. They have clinicians, they have peer supports. You name the resource that they have to help people get reconnected back in the community. But the reentry program, that is vital, because we can get them through that reentry program, we can start getting them connected with employment. And that's the big piece. If we can get people employed, then they don't have to commit.
So in the perfect world, you want your reentry program set up first prior to that.
Yes. So that clinician, so we want, you know, like this piece of paper right here, we want a list of resources. So if you think about CIT, are we doing Stepping Up Initiative here in Berkeley County? And when you think about this, I know y'all have seen the sequential intercept map.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we get people help depending on where they're at on the map? And that's the piece we kind of want.
You know, excellent presentation. It's three areas I'm looking at. A little some confusion with the numbers, but I can ask that at another time. but I'm really looking at the evidence-based program that you guys are using. That's number one. And I really need a strong follow-up. Because as a sheriff will tell you, you get back out on the street, you get to working with the peers that you came in with, you're going to get to doing the same old thing. Same results, right back in jail. So I'm really looking for a very, very strong exit program with a strong follow-up.
So we try to put all that together in one bundle. And the big piece, you know, Ms. Saunders, is we need if an individual, and this is one of the things that we have to push when we're doing the in-service training. If an individual say, hey, I'm getting out this time, I'm doing the right thing, man, we behind. No, I'll see you again. But even if they come back, people slip and fall.
That's right.
So say, hey, look, we go back out this time. We hope that we have everything in place so we can be successful.
Keep them encouraged.
Keep them encouraged.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Baysmore.
Okay. Mr. Baysmore, very, very informative. We thank you for that presentation.
You're welcome.
You and your partner there.
Thank y'all for your time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, now we will have a presentation of budget request for Burke T. County Board of Education by Dr. Otis Small.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning. Good
morning, Commissioner Hargett, Robertson, White, Commissioner Saunders.
Good morning.
Thank you all for having me this morning. I just feel like after you all hear this presentation, you're going to be so floored that you're going to want to give me all this money and some. So let me just thank you in advance for being so benevolent. All right. You all have the budget.
Yes.
Okay, I have a presentation. So what I'm going to do, I was going to try to talk back and forth between both.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to go to the presentation, everything in the presentation is in this book, but I'm just going to hit the highlights and then we'll go back and see. Let me just thank, too, I have one of my board members here, Mr. Freeman, and my chief financial officer, Charlene Jones. And, of course, if I can't answer it, she can answer it. And I won't make Dr. White go to his board of ed duties today. He's on the commission. So first, let me just go. And this is in the part of the manual that you have as part of the budget message and our strategic plan. So, this is, of course, our strategic plan, the same as last year. It goes to the end of the year. But every piece of money we spend, every product we buy, every piece of staff development we do, we try to focus it back to this document right here. That's pretty much our vow before the district. Everything is aligned to our plan. With the goal of the vision is to make sure kids have access and opportunities. And, of course, we want to make sure that kids are ready when they leave Berkeley County Public Schools. So, that's how we try to make sure our dollars are matched with everything that we do. And we're experiencing some positive outcomes, and you'll see that as we go through the slide. So, because we always want to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. All right, so let me just review. Some of you all know this. Some of you in the room may not. People online may not know, but you know, whenever I get a chance to brag about the district, I will take some time to do that.
Mr. Smallwood.
Yes.
You know, they always tell me it's a sorry dog that won't wag his own tail.
Well, sorry dogs in Berkeley County Schools.
Go.
We all about achievement, right? So some of our accomplishments, and of course, I couldn't list them all, but people may not necessarily know what we're doing. But of course, Berkeley County Schools used to be on the local performing district, and we are no longer designated as a local performing district. We ended that status at the end of 22-23. Bertie High School is a C school, and some people may think C is mediocre, but that's been the most celebrated C around because they've been a D and an F school for years, actually since the building been opened. So they came out of that low performance status last year under leadership of Mr. Peel. From 2019 to 2024, Bertie High School's composite scores has increased from 19% to 57%. It's a very big deal. We have reduced the number of low performance schools from 4 to 1 in a 2-year period. Currently, 71% of our schools meet or exceed growth. 85% of our students have a C grade or better. Our cohort graduation rate currently is 89%, which is above the state average of 86. It was 78% in 2019. Last year, every graduate from the early college earned an associate degree or a credential, and that was the first time in the history of the early college. And last year, we had three kids who, in partnership with Martin Community College, were hired straight from, went into the workforce to Newport News Shipbuilding because of their welding certification. Of course, our outdoor learning space, some of you may call it the football field, track field, but I'll just start this year with the track. If you didn't get a chance to come out during track season, it was a buzz in the air. This is the first time our kids been able to have a home track meet since 2015, I believe it is. But we were able to get all that done over the last 3 years with fields, lights, and track. And we still got a couple of things we're trying to get done too. I said 12 years, but it's really 15 years. And then with track, we have three students Friday going to the state for a track meet. Of course, you all know we were able to get our teacher housing complex built in the district. It's housing our teachers to help us with retention and recruiting. Bertie County is probably the only county in the state or one of few that teaches its own history. Dr. Owen Smallwood's book, we designed a curriculum to teach Bertie County history to our high school kids because it's a direct correlation to United States history. It's a lot of local history in Bertie County. Of course, yesterday, some of you were out. It was the day before yesterday. My days get mixed up. But, of course, you know, we constructed a new CTE wing to the high school. That's about a we had a $16 million grant to get that project done, which will house all our CTE programs under one roof and even add some. And of course, we were able to do that with the lottery funds and no taxpayer, local taxpayer dollars. Of course, we got ag ed added back to the traditional high, middle school, cosmetology is back. And we try to focus on the whole child. We have Spanish, foreign language, state arts, visual arts. Advanced placement and honors level courses at the high school. Some might not see it as a big deal, but our kids need to be pushed and challenged as they're leaving school. So they need to have a plethora of courses to choose from. Next year, we will have our AIG program back. And currently, we have students taking advantage of CCP, Career College Programs at Bertie High School. And in a couple of weeks, we will have our first kid to graduate an associate's degree from Bertie High School. So the kids work hard, they can really get what they need and take advantage of the opportunities all for free. So I'll let the high school brag about that in 2 weeks, and I expect to see you all to have graduation in a couple of weeks too. For safety purposes, we've updated our safety and security with digital cameras that store images in the cloud. We no longer on an old analog system. We did that with a grant from the Justice Department, U.S. Department of Justice, along with the sign-in system to kind of keep people that shouldn't be in the buildings out. You know, when you sign in now, you scan your license. If you got any kind of child predatory charges, they alert us right away, so you won't be allowed to be in there. We got vape detectors in middle and high school. We replaced HVAC systems in two of our schools, Wednesday, Coleraine. And next year, we will upgrade our metal detectors to a weapons detection system, kind of similar to what you see in the airports, in some malls and some establishments where you won't have to walk through the beep. You'll walk through a system and it will send signals to people that have the tablets or the app to kind of let you know if there's something suspicious in the bag. So it'll be kind of monitored all the time. And again, all those things were done with grant money that we saw that we didn't have to request any local money for. All right, so sections 3 through 7 in this book is basically talking about our budget sources. All right, so these numbers were projected at the time when we did this presentation. So going into next year, our ADM is projected to be around 1,611 kids, which is about a 5% decrease from the current year in. So the number in red is what we can expect to be decreased from the state, 997. Our federal allotment, you can see there's 3.2. Our ESSER funds, our COVID money, we spent all those monies that had to be spent by this year. Those were spent in September, obligated in September, but spent by December. So we don't have any more money to utilize there. So we had about 447 left. But, you know, in spending that money, we try to utilize it and spend it in ways that we didn't have personnel involved so we can save jobs, so people would be out of a job. Our local appropriation, local budget 3.8, of course, that's not all of the assets, that's all of our local monies that we plan on operating with. Capital outlay, 575. That includes the 375 that we're asking from commissioners, plus the $200,000 we get for school bus replacement. We put that in capital request every year. So these are projected about $28 million that we are projected to use somewhere at the time of this point, and that's about $1 million less than the current year than what we're working on. Our fund balance. We're proud of our fund balance. Again, as you can see where we were a few years ago, right now our fund balance is about $2.7 million. And of course, we try to short money to keep our requests in order that things happen. We've been able to leverage some funds and do some smart spending, writing grants, and we would have to kind of shore up a little bit. So it's a pretty good balance for an issue that's outside. School nutrition, well, school nutrition is like every other budget. That's federal reimbursements through school nutrition, through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, I'm sorry. So, of course, we're expecting an increase in the number of students next year, so we're expecting that's an increase. It's actually an increase from the previous year. So, we do have.
Is that due to the expenses of food getting higher? Because we get less students, but increasing.
She's really been supplemented selling herself good. She's supplemental sales. No, that's not what we reimburse back, but we allow her to cater some events too, you know, that we do locally too, to kind of help boost the numbers. She's actually been in the city. We lowered some personnel costs as well. Our right, section 9 in the manual talks about budget risks, and of course these are just common risks that probably every school system faces, especially rural school districts. So, you know, everybody's kind of unsure about federal funds now. We've been told to go ahead and plan like normal, but we have several programs that are funded through federal programs. CTE, child nutrition, exception to needs, those are bigger programs. But it's uncertain how that will be distributed from the federal government. Of course, our unfavorable legislation, that's from the federal and state level. So it's been this big push with vouchers and a lot of made available to all families regardless of the income limit. So we're seeing increase in families in the area applying for vouchers to go to private schools. So in Bertie, the last report I read about a month or so ago, it's about $1 million worth of vouchers being issued to families that are going to Lawrence Academy and Bethel down in Esker. Out of district transfers, of course, we have quite a few families that transfer their kids to Chihuahua, even to Chihuahua. A lot of families work that way. And so then, of course, we have charter schools that still, we have about 25 kids going to charter schools online or face-to-face. Those are the charter schools that we have currently. We have 25 kids split up between those buildings right there.
Small.
25 kids that's from Bertie that go to those schools.
Well, give me a whatever, black figure, whatever you can, top of your head. 25 students, how much that costs? Sure.
So how much is it FT what per child?
Our allotment by average. We, between state, federal, we get about $12 million child.
Okay.
So
let me just jump to answer your question, because what she was telling you is how much the school system has to pay additional. So they lose money by not being in the school system, but then the school system has to pay per child to where they're going. That's why that number was so small.
Per child, how much is that?
We get about $12,000 per child. So once we leave a lot, that money falls. This number is local money that we have to catch.
Are we still seeing a sense of rate of that students leaving? going to the charter schools. We still stand.
Students told about study, but kids still going to private school. Right.
That's it.
Other risks, salaries, of course, you know, we're always appreciative of salary increases, and sometimes the state will give you a salary increase, but we still have to pick up the benefits and all that. And then, of course, if we got people out of local, we have to eat that as well. The state gives increases. Of course, our supplements are percentage based, so when salaries go up, supplements go up too. So those are risks, but we're maintaining. Of course, every year, retirement hospitalization increases. Increase in paying substitutes going on, all that, utility rates, all that goes up every year. And then, of course, here in Bertie, I mean, our team, we do a good job of maintaining buildings. Of course, we got some aging buildings and definitely aging infrastructure. And even at the central office, we got a lot of issues that are happening down there that we're going to have to address.
Dr. Smallwood.
Yes, sir.
I see your enrollment always increases when the student becomes 14 years old and they're eligible to go to the early college. It comes from everywhere.
Yeah, so we do get requests
everywhere
from areas everywhere. When it's time to go to early college. Yes,
right. Okay,
that haven't been
at the middle school. Yeah, our elementary school. Let's keep it real. That's all. But
and I think a lot of that is also the ability for students in private school to be able to play sports and academics. And we're there seeing that across the country, mm-hmm. that the kids will go to private school until they become eligible for collegiate sports, and they want to look at scholarship for those kids on a national level. Then they'll enroll them into the public school system. I wish it was we're not going to say that.
Some laws being presented that talks about making that
shut it down.
Some legislation that's been introduced to allow that to happen, even mm-hmm. if they stay in private school, that we have to allow them to
play right, sports. Sure.
Even homeschools. So a lot of legislators are talking about trying to make that happen. Section 10 talks about future facilities planning. As you can see, the top half are the things that we've already done. Part of that was some of the goals that my board gave me when I arrived about building usage, because we had a lot of buildings open based on the number of kids. So as you can see, the top half is what we've already been able to do. And I put West Vertee and Atlanta merged, but Atlanta closed, but the kids from Atlanta actually go to West Vertee, Coleraine, and West. They go to all three police schools. Of course, in a year from now, for 26, 27, kids should be able to go into the new part of Bertie High School. The final phase of the athletic complex, so our outdoor learning spaces, you know, our kids play tennis, but they play it here in Windsor. We would love to be able to get our tennis courts. We done right on the athletic complex. We need some scoreboards over on the baseball, softball side, dugouts need some work. Like I said, our central office complex, we got a lot of piping and infrastructure issues going on. All of our HVAC systems at the schools are out of their life cycle. Except Wes and Corinne, because we just did those. Of course, we got aging loose. All of them. So those are some of the things that we got going on that we'll have a plan to address in the next few years. All right, and then of course our interim budget resolution total, we plan on working on around a $31 million budget for 25-26 students. That's including the budget requests, it's including what we plan on using for the 40-cent sales tax and all of that, and even budgeting out of fund balance. Currently we put two teachers in the budgeted because we want a band teacher, regardless of the size.
Please, give me a band teacher.
That's been a challenge. We also need to focus some on instructional technology too. Technology changing, the AI's ways. The state does not fund all, you know, the state gives you what they give and then you got to be creative how you use it. But we want to commit to trying to find a band person and keeping a band, and same with choral music as well. Budgeting is some out of our fund balance to try to make all that work. But the entire budget resolution based on local requests and what we plan on getting from the state is around 31.6
$2 million. Mr. Smoke, let me ask something about the CTE building and stuff. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. With that, I know you're doing the auto mechanics and all those things. How about the creative arts? Is that a part of it or what? I'm just asking.
Creative arts, no. Not in that building.
Not, okay.
But it's just all the career tech.
Okay. Stuff. I just, okay.
That's it. It's all what we offer, plus we plan on bringing HVAC. That's going to be the new one. So, unless y'all want me to go through this book.
Yeah, you did great. You covered everything.
I like people.
just real quick. I mean, it's probably a bad time to ask the question, but what are the departments that's going to be in the CTE school?
Okay, so we have auto mechanics, carpentry, welding, cosmetology,
bricklaying,
HVAC is going into, and
Now, is there room for anything else, or that pretty much maximizes?
Yeah, that maximizes the space. We designed the space around what we had and what we thought we could get.
Right.
So we still have some CTE courses up in there. You know, those are kind of like the hands-on learning experience in that building. But
right.
We still got like home economics, foods and nutrition. We got business entrepreneurship. But those are up, on the
drawing. Right. Understood.
And the cosmetology, including pedicure and manicure. Yeah.
And I just wanted to hear you say it on record, because there's still some citizens out there that's interested in people learning plumbing and electrical and floor covering. Just throwing it out.
I'm telling you, we probably looked at some of everything we could, even before we got this space.
Right, I understand. But you can't do everything. Right.
And then the part we couldn't find the people to do. Yeah. So we depend, Martin is our partner. Even with the electrical part, because that's something we had years ago. Mm-hmm. Like we tried to go that route, but they couldn't find an instructor.
Right. Understand.
With the new CTE, are y'all looking at, I know y'all looking at cybersecurity, and you're looking at the video cameras, but are y'all looking at placing some more officers at the school site? Because that may be an issue when you start bringing the public in, get the hair and nails and all of that done. You're bringing outside folks into that facility during the course of school day.
That's a good point, Ms. Sonia. So we have one assigned there anyway. Sometimes we have two. But the good thing about that addition, like when people come in from the college talks, they have their own interest from the back. They'll still be in the building, but they won't have to come in with a bucket of students. But you bring a very good point about additional security, especially now. The building's already big, now it's going to be bigger.
Well, we thank you, man.
I might should put this in his budget request. Y'all looking so serious. I need y'all to smiles me, y'all agreeing with me. Y'all looking so serious. No, that's not what happens.
But we definitely thank you, man. Any more questions? Y'all have any more questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a comment with the superintendent and CTE and all those carpentry classes and bricklaying classes and electrician classes. Mr. Superintendent, when I was at Bertie High, we built the house. Maybe they can build some more classrooms, and that was labor free.
So, finish one, be quiet. But we've been talking about building something. Yeah, that used to be the end goal years ago. So we're on the same page about coming up with that product.
And that would bring a lot of money back to your district. To the district. Build a house and sell. Mr. Carl Crater bought the house from the district and lived in it for years and years and years. On the same road going to Askerville, on the right-hand side. Yeah, right. Several out there, the kids built. Mm-hmm.
We're working towards that. Probably a tiny house first or a barn.
Is that the market? Okay.
Yeah, but we
don't know about the market, man. Tiny houses.
We're definitely thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Small.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you all. Okay. Budget presentation by the county manager.
Taxpayers, citizens, and community partners. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I stand before you as county manager honored to present the funding plan for the upcoming fiscal year 2025-2026. Let me start by saying, I know this a lot of people have been waiting for this, and I'm honored to present it. However, I have mixed emotions about it because, as you know, we get so many requests. And unfortunately, I'm not able to fulfill all of the requests or to propose or recommend all of the requests. Let me be clear about that. As county manager, I make the recommendation. The board makes the decision. But this is my proposed budget for 25-26. So, in soon we'll take a look at the board. We'll take a look at the entire budget. But as you can see here, the budget is composed of several funds, from the general fund and social services fund to the telephone system evaluation, opioid and the settlement fund, as well as now we also have a fire service district, which we'll talk just a little bit about. So let's talk about fund balance right at the beginning. So people like to talk about fund balance and that sort of thing. So historically, we have appropriated fund balance quite a bit, which is why we got into some trouble with LGC about not having the fund balance level that we needed to have, okay? So going back to 2017, it's just for history, particularly for my new commissioner. Going back to 2017, as you'll see, the yellow bar or column represents the original budget, fund balance that was appropriated in the original budget. And the green bar represents the final fund balance appropriation. So as you can see, back in 17, 18, 19, and 20, fund balance was being appropriated in the original budget of 1.2, 1.5, 1.9, 1.7. And the final appropriation ended up being 1.8 over 2 million, 2.3, 1.9 million, okay? However, since I've been here, because fund balance was so low, we have not appropriated any fund balance in the original budget, okay? Any fund balance that has been appropriated has been a carryover from a grant or something like that. No fund balance appropriations in the original budget, okay? So it has, fund balance has grown since this time. Right now, we're around this time here where you see where we stopped it at 2021, we were down to 1%. We're now over 8%. And of course, now the LGC recommends not only for the longest time, it was 8%. However, now they say they want you to have a fund balance that is comparable to counties of a similar size. So counties, some counties our size have a fund balance in the 20%, in the 30%. Okay. So we have some work to do. And to continue doing that work, the goal is to not appropriate fund balance until it gets to that level. And as you know, we have a fund balance policy pretty much that states that. Okay, so now general fund, again, just a historical perspective of the amount of the general fund. So back in 2017, it was 22 million. It went up, as you can see, 2020, 25, took a dip down in 22. This current fiscal year, we're at 26 million. And for next fiscal year, my proposed budget is a total of 24,950,113. Let's talk about the tax rate. So last year, as you know, there was a tax increase that put us at 93 cents. So we went from 86.5 cents to 93 cents. And so I am not proposing an increase in the property tax rate. Okay, I would think it's appropriate for it to remain at 93 cents, you know, with our citizens in mind. However,
if all of the requests that we would have received would have been filled, or if they were all included in the budget, we would have had to have at least another 5% increase to include everything. So I had some hard decisions to make, okay? Again, everything I wanted to include in this budget is not included in this budget. So I had some hard decisions to make, and now I'm gonna help you along the way, but I'm gonna kind of shift that to you a little bit. The decision is yours as to exactly what will be included in the upcoming budget. Let's talk about revenue a little bit. You'll see that there was a slight increase in overall in property taxes. We talked about prior year taxes a little bit last year. And because they did not come in exactly as well as we projected, we have decreased prior year taxes in the upcoming budget. There's a slight increase in vehicle taxes, and we also changed the method of transferring funds from the school capital reserve, which also changed the overall amount of our budget from 26 down to 24. Talk about expenditures. What is included in this budget? So, I was able to include some positions in this budget, some new positions, as recommended when I recommended the ending of non-emergency transport. I recommended four new positions for EMS. They are included in this position, in this budget, excuse me. Also included in this budget is a position in the sheriff's office, but the location of that position will be at the courthouse as well as this building to provide security. From my understanding, we are probably the only courthouse, from my understanding, in the state without security every day. We do have security when court is being held or when a judge is in the courthouse, but outside of that, and sometimes every now and then we'll have it outside of that, but for the most part, we have security when there's court. And so the former clerk of court had meetings with me and also the sheriff requesting security, because sometimes there are citizens who and families who come in and things sometimes can get out of hand, and sometimes security is needed. So that position is included. And then I have also included part-time seasonal positions for Parks and Recreation Department. So in light of some discussion we were recently having it regarding the expansion of Parks and Rec, in order for Parks and Rec to offer more activities, more sports, they could utilize some part-time help. So part-time positions are included for Parks and Rec. So there's some capital purchases, which I'll talk about on the next slide a little bit, and special appropriations. Berkeley County Schools, and my proposed budget will get the funds requested, as well as funds requested for capital outlay. Of course, there's a full list of special appropriations and nonprofits, but these are just some of the special appropriation categories that are included in some of our biggest ones, the community colleges, as well as Bertie Martin Regional Chair. So let's talk about capital purchases a little bit. So again, I told you I had some hard decisions to make. Again, there were a lot of requests, and a lot of the requests were for salary increases. But what were capital purchases that were recommended include in IT, we have an antivirus software or update that is needed, that is strongly recommended by IT, as well as there are a couple of other purchases for IT that I allot a certain amount of money, and I kind of work with department heads on what their priorities are. And so we have an option here. So we have a website is an option. There's also an option for some software that can include minute and board packet software, okay? Along with some iPads, as that was requested by the board, okay? So some funds have been dedicated to that through IT, but not for everything that was just named. But there are some funds dedicated to IT. Emergency services, there are funds for a new ambulance. However, again, when it comes to priorities of the department, the director could, if you all approve it, funds could be used for a brand new ambulance, or it could be used for a remount and a QRV. So there is some flexibility, but we need an ambulance or some funds to go towards emergency services for an ambulance. Sheriff's office, vehicles, public buildings, capital building requests when it comes to certain things for building maintenance, and then Parks and Rec. We talked a while about how Parks and Rec have requested upgrades to the facility, upgrades to the park, and it costs so much to do that. Some funds have been set aside to at least get started, or to at least just setting some funds aside so that we can work toward getting those upgrades done.
Excuse me, you said yes. Upgrade to facility. What facility?
So the Director Mazzell has, I'm referring to the complex, the recreation complex.
Oh, I thought you meant where they was at next.
No. Thank you for asking. Sorry. I'm not referring to the building that they share with Council on Aging.
Okay.
Thank you for asking that. Thank you. To make that clear, I'm talking about the park.
Okay.
The park, yes. So as you all know now, effective July 1, 2023, we have a Fire Protection Service Tax District, which includes all unincorporated areas of Bertie County. As you can see here, all of those unincorporated areas are listed. And of course, the purpose of that was to provide and maintain fire and rescue service in a single unified protection district. And basically to maintain the current level of service, the additional tax was a little bit over 3 cents, and we continue to budget $14,500 to the Windsor Fire Department because Windsor opted not to be in the service district, but based on the number of people who are in the service district, who are not in the service district, excuse me, the appropriation would be $14,500 in order for them to continue receiving that same level of funding. So before I go to the water fund, let's talk about what's not included in the budget for when it comes to the general fund. You know, a lot of people want to know. So again, there were a lot of salary requests. So almost majority, I'll say, of the departments requested salary increases, a reclassification, a new position, or some type of personnel, but for the most part, it was a salary increase. Unfortunately, it hurts me to say that I did not include any salary increases, not even an across the board or a cost of living increase. As bad as I wanted to do that, I was not able to because of budget constraints. Simply, the revenue did not permit us to do that. However, I strongly urge us, we'll work together to see what can be done to do that. But with what I included, I wasn't able to include what I included, as well as an across the board increase. There were also requests for, I believe you heard the sheriff talk about it quite a bit, the need to increase deputy pay. We are lagging and when it comes to pay for our law enforcement officers for Bertie County. Of course, we know town of Windsor, they're paying substantially more than our starting salary, the surrounding counties. We're at the bottom, and I don't like to be at the bottom. So again, that is something that I absolutely would have loved to include, some type of increase for all employees, but particularly starting pay for deputies so that we can retain and keep our deputies. However, again, because of budget constraints, not having the revenue to do it, could not do everything. So I had to make some hard decisions. Starting pay is $40,000 for a certified deputy.
Yeah. Say it again.
$40,000 for a certified deputy.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
I would really request that you and your staff revisit the budget the sheriff department, the employees' cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of living is not like a salary, personal salary increase for the employees. But cost of living is not nothing personal. And the sheriff department, definitely, and the people cost of living, man, deserve an increase. Please go back and revisit that, because I do not, I'm tired. To be honest with you, manager, I'm tired, man, of losing employees
mm-hmm.
to the surrounding counties
mm-hmm.
because we can't figure this out.
Hey, just not cut across, Commissioner, but if you all don't mind, let's let him finish. Take whatever notes you need and then
okay.
before we let him sit down, we'll come back. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Transitioning to the water fund, and again, we'll take a look at all of the funds when we sit down and have our budget work session. This is to show you that one of the reasons as a county we were on the unit assistance list is because at a certain point our water fund was also losing money. And then we increased funds when you begin to see here in fiscal year 22, when the yellow bar goes up higher, it's a result of increased rates. And so fiscal year 2023, which is when our last audit was done, there's actually a little bit of a loss, but because of a prior year adjustment made by the auditors, we actually did come out in the black. We did have our revenue did exceed our expenditures in 2023 for our water fund. So just taking a look at our budget overall, years back when we were losing money, I think our budget was just a little bit too big, and there were some things going on with projects with SCADA system and the handheld meters, trying to not do too much at one time and do it in phases, resulted in us being able to reduce our budget. And so the proposed budget for fiscal year 2026 is right about 2.6. So for the past several years, we've been around 2.7 or right under. And so keeping it there is ideal in terms of making a profit. So what's next? Budget work sessions. Ideally, we will schedule them within the next 2 weeks. If doing that today would be very helpful, that way it's on everybody's calendar. But we usually set aside 2 or 3 days at least for the board to sit down with me and with staff. We basically go through the entire budget, line item by line item, as detailed as we need to, in order for you all to see the hard decisions that must be made. And so that is where we are. The budget hearing is scheduled for June 9th at 6:00. And of course, we have to have this budget adopted by July 1. Questions?
Ma'am,
I'm done.
Any questions for me?
I mean, it's my question is, what is your projection for monies that we'll have available next year based on the work you guys have done so far? Because we really can't, and you may not know that until our work session.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel comfortable. You can do a projection, but unless we know what we got, that's just a projection for it.
And that $24 million.
Because the audit has not been complete, so we don't really know, correct?
Well, okay. So the audit tells us exactly where we would have been at the end of fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2024. Okay. So that'll tell us about fund balance and all that.
Right.
But moving forward for the next fiscal year,
uh-huh.
what I'll have, and we'll have a hard copy for you today, and that's exactly what we take a look at, is a proposed budget for next fiscal year. And that right now, yes, is $24 million. You can take a look at it, the revenues that have been projected and every expenditure and all the various departments, all of the nonprofits, special appropriations. You can take a look at what I recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the funds that are available, you're able to make any changes that you need to make in order to include in the budget what the board would like to include in the budget.
No FUPAs, no overestimated of taxes, no none of that, correct?
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
So with your nonprofits,
do you prioritize it based on what type of nonprofits they are? It's just pretty much a smorgasbord.
Thank you for asking that question. Basically, our nonprofits are in the group with special appropriations, and what I have done is basically kept it at level funding. Basically, all of the funding that was received or approved last year by the board, I have kept it at that funding. There were some increases requested.
Okay.
However, I kept, because of budget constraints and not being able to do everything, I have maintained level funding, meaning if it was in the budget last year, that's basically where it is this year and my proposed budget.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Those are not nonprofits. Those are public entities.
Yes,
right,
yes, ma'am. So I said these are in the special appropriations category along right. with some nonprofits. So in our budget, it's called special appropriations. Okay. So you're right. Everything in the special appropriations category is not a nonprofit. Some of them are public entities that are not nonprofits. But the nonprofits that we do donate or fund or contribute funds to, I should say, are included in the special appropriations category.
Off the top of your head, do you know exactly how much has been appropriated for nonprofits?
For nonprofits, no. For nonprofits as well as the public entities in the special appropriations category, it's around $6
million. Okay.
I said the nonprofits, if it's like last year, it's not a ton. Maybe under $100,000, okay. if it's that much.
Correct.
Okay. It wasn't much.
Did y'all change the policy? Because I know 3 years ago, you changed the policy. And you had your nonprofit appropriations money going to a state entity, JCPC, and the nonprofit had to apply to JCPC in order to get funding. So when was that changed by this board? And by me going to the meeting yesterday, I realized that y'all voted on it. This board voted on and approved that procedure, but it's not been being adhered to. Now, so when was that change?
I'm not sure I understand your question, but let me tell you this. This board approves the funding plan for JCPC.
Yes, sir.
And so those entities that are in a part of that funding plan are also in this special appropriations category.
Mm-hmm.
So the board, again, gets to determine, or gets to approve the funding plan, I should say.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if I answered
I just wondered because I know this board approved at one point to give all their nonprofit funding to JCPC. Then any smaller nonprofits had to apply to JCPC. And I still have copies of those minutes when that was done. Representative Byrd, Mr. Wesson was on this, Mr. Trent. All of them served. I don't think Mr. White was here when that was done. And I don't think Mr. Balance was here when that was done.
So are you saying that all the
nonprofit money went to JCPC, then the smaller nonprofits had to apply to JCPC for funding?
All of them?
All of them. You look back in your minutes, you'll be able to find that.
Okay.
Because I can name the four nonprofits. It was Tonza Ruffin and the gentleman that she the young man she worked with. It was Casey Owens.
Right.
It was the Hive House. It was Hope Plantation, and it was two others. And so we could not get funded that year, but what we had to do is apply to JCPC.
Well, we have several nonprofits who apply just to directly to the county.
Yeah. So that's why I was asking. It must have changed. And I was just wondering, but since they approved the funding schedule, so it must have changed. Just check it.
Yes.
Okay.
There are no other questions. Can we schedule the work sessions?
Well, I just want to say thank you to you, Willie Mack. I see David peeking his head right here, so I'm going to give David credit too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is why I'm saying, though, because you've actually, last year was a debacle.
For various reasons, yes, sir.
Yes. So y'all listened, and my concern was how much are we, because we're budgeting taxes that weren't collected in here. And I heard you say it. You didn't budget that much this year. So that's what I say. I just appreciate a little conservativeness here in this instead of craziness like last year. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to add to his statement. probably contrast, but because I am struggling with, even though I know our funding situation, I'm still struggling with, you know, just so you'll know going forward, mm-hmm. I'm struggling with having probably one of the best sheriff departments in mm-hmm. the state. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But yet still the yes. most underpaid yes. in the state.
Absolutely.
I'm struggling with
it,
that.
It is a concern.
And also, you know, I'm definitely struggling with the, you know, I even though I understand we can't do it this time, but I still struggle with the cost of living increases with.
Absolutely.
I struggle with
absolutely.
That. These are things that I'm struggling with.
Mm-hmm. Same here, which is why I mentioned it.
And I know as a board that people vote us to make decisions to give them a better quality of life as county citizens. Mm-hmm. And they're hard to make sometimes. I get it. Mm-hmm. But those are two issues
yes,
that
sir.
I'm struggling with.
Agreed.
As chairman. I'm going
to
say
that. I'm struggling too. And struggle while I was doing it. And again, I brought it to your attention because I feel like it should strongly be considered. Exactly. How are we going to make it happen? I'm not sure. But
I can't remember. Not that matter, but I can't remember not ever getting that.
It happens.
Has it ever happened?
Yes, it has. Since I've been here, yeah. I know we got as we've given since I've been here, we've given as low as 1%, and I'm sure in recent years we have not. Gotten it hadn't been in the last two okay. or three, but right. there have been times when we have not gotten a cost of living increase.
Yeah, I've been here 4 years and we always got a cost of living, and that's why I ask, please, you and your staff, take a real close look at something for the employees and the sheriff department. He's yeah. one of the better ones we ever had. You know,
yes,
he's Johnny on the job all the time.
Yes, sir. Understood.
He may be in Virginia, but he answers the phone.
Yeah. That's right. So yes, we're going to take a look at it with you all, and hopefully we'll be able to make it happen.
And I guess I'm biased on this. I want us to really take a look at working. I mean, I ask y'all to take a look at working with myself and the jail commission, because it is we as a board, as a commissioner's board, and Martin. We're responsible for that jail. And some of the things that are going on, I saw you had put Bertie Martin Regional Jail down there. Mm-hmm. But we need to talk about and we need to look at what's going on at the jail. I have sent out an email to all of you asking you if it's possible for all of them to come and attend our next commission meeting. There's some things that you definitely need to know about as commissioners. That's going on, and I don't think you guys have been privy to the information. So I know it's a lot of mechanical issues down there that we are responsible for, isn't that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so the county, you know, for liability purposes, we really need to take a look at, as a group, what's going on at AJ.
See, that's, and I'm glad you brought it up, Commissioner Saunders, because I didn't understand where does the Board of Commissioners come in at when it comes to the jail and they having their own board.
Money.
But Bobby. Yes, but basically money, also appointing members to the commission. And yes, we do also incur some liability. So when it comes to not, yes, so not necessarily making the decisions, but Commissioner Saunders, as chair of the board, may want you all to be aware of some things that are going on, but the decision making happens with the Bertie Martin Regional Jail Commission outside of the funds.
Right.
So we fund it as well as Martin County.
Right. Kind of like charge. DSS a little bit. Yeah. They had their own board.
Yeah, some degree. Some degree. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of hands off unless needed. It's pretty much
needed.
Yes.
Needed.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to clear. Okay. Well, any more questions for the county manager concerning the budget?
Are we getting those? Are we getting those sheets today or no?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to say, I'm very pleased with the presentation. Thank you. I think you all met all the guidelines and requests that the board had.
We need to find some dates.
Yes, please.
I have a comment. It's not so much of a question, but and I know we may not have the money to do it, Mr. Bond, this year. Mm-hmm. But I really think that another person needs to be added to your staff. I think you need an executive assistant and you need an administrator. Because a lot of times, and I'm seeing it for yourself because I'm one of the ones that type your time, it's a lot of requests that's made of the county manager. An administrator, a secretary can handle the tedious little day-to-day job, but he needs an executive assistant. And I've talked to somebody in another county comparable to ours. We don't have the money to do it, but I'm just putting it out there in the air. You really need an executive staff. You need a three staff. So somebody can handle those busy works. Somebody can be the person that actually be your press conference person so that you can work on the job of budgeting and those things that a CEO will work for. And I know we don't have the money to do it, but I'm just saying it to this group that he loses a lot of time handling little tedious stuff that should have been passed down to somebody else.
He has an assistant manager that can help him with all the little tedious tasks.
And he need to be helping Ron with the budget.
There you go.
I mean,
I must thank my staff, all of the staff, all department heads contributed some way. All staff contributed in some way. But particularly David,
assistant manager
and finance officer, Willie Mack were very instrumental in assisting with the budget. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you need dates.
Dates, please. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
So again,
do you have any proposed dates?
The 19th through the 22nd were proposed options, and that's Monday through Thursday of the next week. The 26th is Memorial Day. That's a holiday. And so we have some days within, you know, we can choose within the next 2 weeks would be ideal to get it done.
The week of the
26th? Yes.
We do have three board members that will be
in Alabama.
27th through June 2nd.
So next week might be the week.
Yeah. How many days you need next week?
At least two. Three wouldn't be bad, but at least two. We can start with two, and if we can get two next week, if you all will, some of you will be going to Alabama the following week, we do have the week of June 2nd if we need to. So if we can start with 2 dates next week, again, if we need to come back, we can come back the week of June 2nd.
We see.
2 days. 2 days between the 19th and the 23rd.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Credit card payment.
I'm good any day, 19th to the 22nd. Friday, I would prefer not to do it.
Right. I'm good. Wednesday, I have CPTA meeting. Other than that. What time are we talking?
As soon as y'all would like, week 10, or if you want to do sooner, we can. Hour 10 is final.
We can't just start everything. I ain't gonna ask that question.
What is the one?
No, I was gonna say just get in like 8 and just stay till.
Just get it done one day.
Yeah, just get it done one day.
We'll be here 8:35.
Well, how about 9? We just trying to watch it.
I come here at 9. I'm on my 8:00.
But now I do whatever we got to do.
We got to either sacrifice 2 days or we can sacrifice.
I think you're going to sacrifice more than one day, whether you start at 8 or 9.
Yeah. Because, I mean, some of you at 9 and you're going to work. I mean, you're not even going to be thinking clearly by the end of the day. So, you know, you're going to, you know, I don't mind, but you're still going to need to take some time on breaking between at least a couple of days. But if you want to do it from 8, do a couple of days, from 8 to whatever, I'm not, okay.
Let's do, so everybody's good with Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, get over with. That's fine.
Let me just
Monday,
Tuesday.
Set the time. Monday
and
Tuesday. Get him time to get stuff out of his eye.
Okay, so we'll do Monday and Tuesday, which is the 19th and 20th. We'll start. Can we plan to just go from like 10 until 2? Or
right.
2 and we'll have lunch?
10 to 2 is good.
From 10 to 2 and have lunch.
All right, okay, that's fine.
But okay. 10 to 2 is the goal.
Yeah,
let's go. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay, at the end of this meeting, because we won't have time to adequately advertise, the way to get around that would be to reset this meeting. So we will reset this meeting until Monday, May 19th, 10 o'clock. And you okay doing it in here? You are prepared?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so we'll do it here. But again, reset until Monday, May 19th, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next item was to go into closed session, but due to the fact that we had a scheduling conflict with our county attorney, we're going to move past that at this time, and we'll, you know, wait till we can have our attorneys present.
Question.
Sure.
Is it possible for us to still go into closed session and discuss some personnel issues concerning the jail, or we can't do that? That's illegal.
Well,
okay.
What I would recommend is, due to the fact something could come out,
gotcha,
that the attorney needs to cover.
Thank you. I just wanted to add.
Yeah, that's fine. All right. And so, any other items needed?
I don't have anything else, sir.
Okay. Board members.
I got a question. I know Ms. Sonny was talking about administrative help. I know there are some certain things people can't see, but from a school perspective, students maybe we can use as intern.
Yeah, we got to change.
In corporate America, when I worked corporate America years ago, in the offices, we had what we would call floaters that would come just ask them, maybe they can help with the, I don't know, give them some, at least give them some experience, paperwork or something. Y'all help me. Y'all work it out. I'm just throwing it out. Anything else I can do to help, I will.
You can talk to Lewis Harvard. We got paid interns from ECU, and they pay those interns to come to work with us, with the chamber. And so you talk to Lewis, and they were looking for other spots to place interns. Maybe that'd be an option for you.
Okay, thanks. All right, that's fine. Okay. Well, do we have to make a motion to recess?
So move.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to recess this meeting until
May 19th. 10 a.m. Second.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Saunders, second by Commissioner White. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. See you on the 19th. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
Dr. Smallwood.